You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host, and I'm looking forward to another good episode, great episode. We're in a series of podcasts with the guys from Ministry Accelerator, Jason and John, and I'm really excited to have you guys on the podcast again. So welcome back, Jason Tilley, John Tillman. Welcome back, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Cool. Well, tonight we're going to talk about, in this episode, about the power of story. You know, I grew up in a very much of a storytelling family, where we're always gathered around talking stories, recounting life and its events. You know, and some of those stories made us laugh, some made us cry, some of them were like, oh, why did you even tell that one out loud? But we're not actually talking about that kind of story. It's more of, we're looking at the whole idea that, you know, when Jesus was a master storyteller, and if you look at the Gospels, you see that he drew people in. He grabbed their hearts. He verbally slapped them up in the back of the head sometimes. He called them out. He challenged them to consider the kingdom. There's so many things he used the story for. And so story is a powerful thing. And the idea of story is powerful. And so that's really what this episode's all about, is the power of stories, how to find them, how to leverage them, how to cultivate them. And this is from a whole series of articles that John wrote on Ministry Accelerator. So if you're not on, go check out ministryaccelerator.org. Sign up and get in there and take a look at some of these articles. But we're going to take a stab at this kind of thing. So, gentlemen, are we ready?
Sure.
All right. Well, here we go. So let's think about this. And obviously, we've got to start with why. So why do you guys think that story is so important? Why are stories so important?
Well, you know, a lot of people that, you know, we use storytelling, or aware that, like, we use storytelling in ministry. Like, we tell stories during sermon, or we tell the kids a Bible story, or we, you know, we're familiar with using stories in that way, but we sometimes disconnect or forget that the gospel literally is a story. It is the good news. It is the story of our redemption, of Christ coming to us, of God's, you know, love story with us. The gospel literally is a story. And when we look in the New Testament, we see that that is the primary way in which the church grows, the primary way in which through the book of Acts, you know, you watch what happens, and, well, something happens, and then they tell the story of what happened, and then they tell the story of what happened again, and then they tell the story of what happened again. And you can see that in things that happen to Peter, how he retells over and over his visit, and the, you know, the sheep coming down and the animals and the whole thing. Like, he retells that story like 3 or 4 times. You know, Paul retells his story over and over. So we see and know that not only is it the story of Jesus that is a part of the gospel, but our lives become a part of that gospel story. And the repetition of those stories is powerful and is integral to the ministry of the church.
Yeah. And, you know, you actually got a lot of science that backs that up, what John just said, because they've actually studied how the brain receives information. And the brain receives information through story 6 times more effectively. Like, you could say it's a, maybe it's like you're 6 times more, your brain activates 6 times more receptors than it does any other form of communication when you tell a story. And you think about the interest of stories. You think about Like, how many, if you've ever had to get up in front of the church and explain that you're having growth and you need more volunteers, you know that if you get up there and say, hey, look, we had 42 volunteers and we had 100 people, and now we've grown another 150, and so we need 12 volunteers, and we need you to sign up. There's opportunities available. Go to this email address, and then you get nothing.
Right.
Because people hear it, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. Okay, they need people, fine. Or you could get up there and tell the story of Elmer and how Elmer was hesitant to serve. She wasn't sure she wanted to do it. And she didn't know if she was gifted. She didn't know if that was something that God really wanted her to do, but she knew that she was being asked. And so she decided to go ahead and serve. And so she signs up and shows up for her first day of service. And on the other side, there's a new family that comes to church with a little girl named Jennifer. And Jennifer's scared to be away from her parents in this new church and this new environment. And she's not sure she wants to actually go into the children's ministry. But, you know, with her parents, they convince her, maybe I'll give it a try. And just as Jennifer's about ready to run away screaming, Elmer welcomes her and brings her in. And they form a fast friendship. And as a result, one day, Elmer is able to share Christ with this little girl, Jennifer, because of her commitment to serve, she was able to impact the life of a kid. See, and we're going to have more, we need more Elmers because we've got a lot more Jennifers coming. Would you consider being a part of it? See, that's something that's going to stick. That's sticky. Right. That story of Elmer, the story of Jennifer, those things are going to stick in their head because you can empathize with that situation. That comes from story. Right. And our brains are much more attentive to what's going to happen next than what stat are you going to put on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, statistics are great, but you have to connect them to, like, what it is that brings it meaning. You know, like, we've often say that, like, an anecdote isn't data. Like, you know, just because you have a story about something doesn't mean it's true for everyone, because it's not necessarily data. But also, data can't be a good anecdote. You have to have a story. And a lot of us are familiar with the power of story because, like, we probably grew up, a lot of us, like me, grew up in smaller churches, and we're familiar with sort of an informal way of sharing stories. Like, you might have had a testimony night at your church where, like, the pastor didn't get up and talk, but, you know, you had prayer and you sang, and then does anyone have a story of a testimony of what happened this week with whatever? And sometimes those are great, and sometimes those are awkward or weird or whatever.
But yeah, they can be really awkward and weird sometimes.
But yeah, that informal storytelling like that works really well in small, intimate groups. But as it gets larger, it gets more complicated, and there's too many voices speaking at once, and so you have to be more thoughtful about it. You have to become a curator. You have to become a reporter. You have to sort of source those stories. And in the first blog, I talk about this BBC editor who used to challenge his new employees, and he would say, "I can walk 500 meters down the street outside our office, and I can find more stories than you."
Wow.
And he says to his reporters, he's like, "You have to walk this community. You have to be observant. You have to pay attention." And that's the challenge of finding stories to tell in your community is, are you even walking your community? Mm-hmm. Are you even, how far are you walking in there, and how well are you listening? And this is a little bit of a tangent because I just watched something that everybody should probably watch. And it's called Godspeed. I don't know if you've heard about it. But it's like Live Godspeed, and it's this short film about this minister who, fast-paced American minister who goes to Scotland, and he ends up ministering in a small community, and he gets told, "You don't have a desk. Go walk.
Wow.
Go walk. Knock on people's doors. Talk to them. Learn their stories. Learn their names." So that's the challenge of the importance of stories. You can't curate them unless you're going after them.
Wow. You know, that's real good, John. You know, as we look at it, and as leaders in children's family ministry, there's, you know, that's one of the things that I do think we're lacking, is we're often trying to answer questions in the community or fill a need that we're not honestly sure is even there, because we haven't been out there enough to ask, or to hear those stories about the needs that are there. And so that's a good challenge for us to consider as we think about this first section of this, is that who are we listening to? Where are we putting ourselves out into the community so we can hear stories? What are we, you know, pay attention to the mommy blogs and the Facebook groups around you, because there's probably a lot of stories that are there that we're missing. And we're not looking for them. So I like that, be a curator, that's something that we, as we're looking at this idea of story and why it's important, is because every story is a person.
That's right.
And every story is someone that God loves and wants us to reach, and or to help bring them closer to the Father. So, man, that's really good, that we need to start looking at that area and thinking about how can we be curators, how can we be storytellers, and maybe we need to take on that attitude of the journalist and go do some investigative reporting in our community.
Definitely. And you need to cultivate your sources. You know, if you remember watching any like movies or TV shows about like detectives or reporters who are like investigative reporters, they always have their sources, right? They have people that come and tell them. They have people that, you know, if they need to know about what happened in a certain neighborhood, they're going to talk to this person who's their source. Well, reporters have sources for their stories, and so should you. Because you're not everywhere, you can't be everywhere, and so you need to develop and cultivate these relationships and what you might call input channels or whatever, however you're going to hear and listen and find out about the stories that are out there so that you can start to use them. You know, and we talk about in the blog, the second one, we talk about three main channels, and one of them is relationships, and that's just like, that's the most natural way for you to hear about stories is through relationships. And you know, that's not going to happen unless you invest in them. It's not going to happen unless you you know, make that effort and get some time on your calendar, you know, for having lunch with people, get some time on your calendar to go visit someone at their house, get some time in there to make those relationships happen so that you can hear about the stories of what's going on. And then the second input source is like ministry moments. So like when you have a big, say you have a big event or you have a big outreach, or you go out and you mow people's lawns, or you have a car wash or whatever it is, you have a ministry moment. Whenever you have a ministry moment, you've got to be ready to hear stories of what happened. You know, maybe you have somebody who comes, who you go mow their yard, and while you're mowing their yard, you find out they just moved here, and maybe they're a refugee, maybe they need a job, maybe they need whatever, and your church moves and takes care of them. Well, you got to be prepared to do that, but you also have to be prepared to, like, find out about that story and find out about what happened and get the details and talk to them and dig deeper and, you know, learn about them and what's going on. You know, our church, the church where I attend, Milestone Church, we have a big serve day that we do once a year where everybody puts on these red shirts and like thousands of people like spread out into the community and just do whatever jobs we can find to do. In fact, they talk to the city and they ask for code violations. Like, they get the list of code violations, and we go to every single code violation in the city and we fix it. You know, just, we just show up at people's houses and say, hey, we're going to fix this for you. and so it's, we've done this the second year in a row that we've done it. It's been a massive success. And a part of what they do for that, a part of that preparation is not just, you know, buying the nails and buying the paint and buying the wood and all of that. It's also prepping teams to be ready to record the reactions of the people whose house we're working on, or record the reaction of the ministry that we're interacting with. You know, I served on that team this year when we did Serve Day. And, you know, we were, you know, interviewing and taking photos and, you know, finding out what had happened and finding out how this was helping them, how this was helping their ministry, or how this was helping this location. You know, that was a big part of that Serve Day, was not just being ready to actually do the ministry, but to tell the story of how it happened, what it did. And then the third is social media, which everybody knows about that, but your social media as a source, where you need to be able to sort of monitor the channels. People are already talking about your church. So you need to find out about that. You need to, the good or the bad, you need to find out about it.
Yeah.
And you can be a part of reaching out to those people or investigating. And so those are the sources we talked about. There's probably dozens more, but those are the main ones.
Yeah. And all those things are pretty powerful tools that you know. And as a leader, I can imagine, you know, some people would feel very overwhelmed by that. Well, how am I supposed to do all that?
Yeah.
What are some ways that you guys, you know, what would you suggest, you know, because you guys know we've got a lot of smaller church leaders, and they're barely keeping their heads above water sometimes. And so when we start talking about some of this, they're like, well, how do I do that? It's really not so complicated. What are some suggestions that you guys can give?
Yeah, if you're a small church, you're going to do that on a small scale. You know, like our Serve Day at Milestone Church was like, you know, 1,000 people going out into the community. So there were like probably 30 people on just on the story team that I was on, right? But if you're a smaller church, you're going to have like one person on your story team. And that person is going to talk to all your other people. It's you think about it like, you know, we always kind of go back to like the Jesus model, where he had like the 3 and then he had 12 and then he had the 72. And I mean, that's how you have to break it down, I think, is think small to grow big. You know, a news editor does the same thing in a tiny small town newspaper as a news editor of a big paper. He just has fewer people under him.
You
know? Yeah, and there are some practical tools to help you. I mean, you most smartphones have a recording device, some form of recording app on the phone. So you can sit down over coffee, ask them to tell you the story. You can then take that audio and send it over to a website like rev.com, and they can turn it into a transcript for you. And for relatively inexpensive, like sometimes it's like around $1 a minute, and they have a pretty fast turnaround. And you've got that transcript from which you can construct a narrative to do that. And so there's ways you can capture that without having to feel like you've got to write serious notes or do something along those lines. And even if you didn't want to use the site, you could just listen to it later and make your notes at your own pace, and then create your story from what you're hearing.
And use volunteers. Like that, that story team at Milestone, it's mostly volunteers. Like it's not, there was like one staff person, I think. And maybe there might have been two.
That's the same thing here. That's the same thing at my church, Austin Ridge. I'm doing stories for them. It's just as a volunteer.
Yeah, it's basically just asking around, asking for stories, asking for people to share, and getting people in the habit. I mean, you can get your team in the habit. In fact, just last weekend, I went around in our team huddle before service, and just asked them to share some stories of what have they seen this summer in life change in their small group. What's changed, and how have the kids changed in their groups? What have they noticed? What have they learned about the families that they're serving? Because we challenged them to start asking questions and to take a minute as families arrived at the door to talk to the family. And so you can get a lot, you can create a team unofficially just by asking for stories from those that, you know, are our Sunday school teachers or small group leaders. You know, so.
Because, yeah, there's a, back to the relationships. It forces you into those relationships where you know, if you have, even if it's just you and two other leaders, like one guy's music and one guy's or one lady's in the nursery, music guy in a nursery, lady, yeah. Whatever your team is, that person, you develop them. They are going to curate. You teach them to do what you're doing. We're curating stories. I want you to build relationships, get stories through those relationships. You're building a news team, just like a news editor would have a guy who's assigned to Metro, a guy who's assigned to the police, a guy who's assigned to whatever. Yeah. Your team's going to bring you the sources, bring you the stories from their areas.
And yeah, and by doing that, what John's laying out there is you can build that into the DNA of your church.
Right.
North Point Community Church is really big on that. If you talk to someone in North Point leadership in any given time, you're going to hear at some point they're going to ask you, "Hey, tell me your story."
Mm.
That completely wide open, and then you sit and listen, yeah. Or you sit and share your story and they listen.
Yeah.
And so you can build that into your volunteer leadership, people that you meet, just that simple question. Tell me your story.
Yeah. Okay. So as we're cultivating those stories and we're developing and gathering them and doing that, there always comes into that question then. So how do you know what can you share? You know, not all stories are good stories or stories that can be shared. And so you wrote, John, in the third part of your blog series about that whole idea of shaping the story and figuring out you know, what really is the best way to cultivate those leads into good stories and mm-hmm. things. So what kind of things can you share about that, about how to shape and hone the stories, and how do you know what to tell and when to tell it?
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the first part, is that, like, not every story is for publication. You know, like, even a newspaper doesn't publish every story they hear. That, you know, they make choices about, is this, do we know enough about this to publish it? And it could be anything from, we don't have all the facts, so we're not going to talk about it. Or it could be, this is too sensitive, we're not going to talk about it. Or it could just simply be, this is not for our audience,
mm-hmm.
you know. In a newspaper language, you know, world, they might be a financially focused newspaper, and this story is about the arts. Well, we're not about that. We're about business. We're not going to tell that story. You know, in our, you know, world, ministry world, you know, we want to tell stories that are going to show and demonstrate the gospel. That's
right.
We're telling the gospel story in people's lives, and so that's the stories that we want to rise to the top. And that's the stories that we want to share. Ones that are going to show not just the victories, but the struggles. Ones that are not going to show not just the happy endings, but the difficult times that we went through and the way that we were supported. So you want to have variety. If you think about it this way, I think you want to have variety. One,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to have those happy, fantastic, everything's, you know, golden stories. Those are great. We need those. But we also need to hear stories that are tough and
yes.
difficult. We need to hear stories from people who are struggling and there's not an answer right now yet, you know? I think if I had a critique for, like, the most of the stories that I hear in church world right now, is that we don't want to tell the story until there's a happy ending. Like,
yeah,
we don't want to tell the story of the mom who, you know, has had cancer until we find out that, hey, her treatment worked and she's healed. Praise
right.
God.
Right.
I mean, that's a great story. We should absolutely tell it. But it's
like
okay to tell it before it has a happy ending.
Well, I'm saying it's almost like we forgot that people don't want to go to a church where everything is great.
Yeah.
Right.
And they don't relate to them when they struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all of that involves is sort of still on curating. Like, what does our audience need to hear? What does our church, not necessarily what do we want to hear, but what do we need to hear?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the gospel is. And then as you pursue those, you've got to get into the details. And it's not just for, it's not necessarily just for fact checking. You know, you do want to fact check. You want to make sure that this person is not just telling you whatever you want to hear.
Right.
Especially if it's a really large church and the story came through a couple of different, you know, filters, and you don't know this person personally, or maybe they're brand new to the church. You know, you want to talk to them and you want to clarify the details. But it's not just about checking the details. It's about discovering that, whoa, there's a whole other angle to this story that we didn't even know about. And sometimes that angle is even better than what you might have, you know, thought. Maybe you first hear the story about this father, but once you dig into the story, you realize that the son's story is even more powerful. You can tell it from his angle of seeing the change in his dad, and it makes the story that much more powerful. Well, if you didn't drill into the details, and you didn't do a few more interviews, and you didn't ask a few more questions, you would never know that. So you have to drill into the details like a journalist.
Yeah.
You know, ask about what happened. Ask about, well, who else was there when that happened? Really? That's great. So Bill and Joe and, you know, Julie were there. Well, now I'm going to go talk to Bill, and I'm going to go talk to Joe, and I'm going to talk to Julie, and I'm going to ask them what happened and get their angle, because you never know when you're going to get the detail that makes the story 10 times better. Might come from the third or fourth person that you talk to. You only talk to them as a part of that clarification process.
Right, right. And so as we do that, and as we start going through that whole idea of you know, when to tell a story is really just as important as how we tell that story, and making sure we are telling it the right way. And I like what you said, that because I do agree with you guys. I think sometimes we sanitize the stories. I know, like, videos that we do for baptisms sometimes are sanitized. and it's like, you know what? No, we need to show the power of redemption. And, I mean, granted, you don't have to expose all the dirty laundry, but that's not appropriate.
Right.
But telling a story and helping people see the change, or like you said, yeah, sometimes the stories don't end happily, you know, and somebody does pass from a cancer or in a car accident, and all the praying and but that's still, there's a powerful story there. And I think we do need to help, because we, you know, we want to show even kids that there's more to it, and there's more to yes. God than just the perfect of the happy ending story. God uses all sorts of stories, and some of them yeah. are messy.
There's hope in the dark times.
Yes.
There's blessing in the mess. There's lots of that
yeah.
that we need to hear.
Yes.
And yeah, you need to shape those stories. I would say for maximum impact with your audience, but also for like who is going to be there, who's going to hear it,
mm-hmm.
and you want to have the right resources
right.
in place too when you share. We're talking about, you know, like when and how to share the story.
Right.
You know, if you're going to share a really powerful story about, say you have one about drug addiction. This guy has this amazing testimony about drug addiction, and you're going to share that story. Maybe you're interviewing him live on stage, or maybe you have it on video, however you're doing it. Well, if you're going to tell that story, you better be ready with a response for people who say, I have that problem.
Mm.
Like if you tell that story, but you're not ready to say, if you're dealing with this same thing, talk to this counselor, call this number, text this ministry.
Yeah.
Or come on such and such a night at the church this week, and we are having a, you know, a group that's going to help you with this problem. You know, you need to be strategic about, if we're going to talk this Sunday about battered women, we're going to tell a story about a woman who was abused and how we helped, our church helped get her to a safe place, and we helped her stay with her kids, and we helped her do this. If you're going to tell that story, you better be ready.
Mm-hmm.
For the response, strategically, for who are you going to do, what are you going to do when that story succeeds?
Right.
In fact, we have a whole other blog that Jason's working on right now about what about being ready for when something succeeds. You also want to share that with the right audience too. Like, not every source for your whole church. So if you're tailoring, like on the drug addiction story, you might have like a PG general version that's like right there for your main service that you tell. But then, you know, Tuesday night on the night all the drug addicts come to your church, because you hope they do, let him tell more of it.
Right.
Let him get into the details and tell a little bit more of, you know, how far he fell and how bad it got. You know, tailor those stories for those specific groups. Not every story is good for everything. And then the other thing about stories is repeating them and allowing them to develop as a part of the voice of your church. Mm. We were talking about this earlier. Their stories, you know, Jason and I have been in ministry together for a long, long time, doing many, many things. And there are stories that I could start and tell right now that are great stories about ministry, about whatever. I tell them all the time, but I wasn't there. They're not my stories. They're Jason's stories.
Huh.
And Jason could do the same thing.
Yeah. I could start on a story. It happened early in us working together. I heard these stories so many times that when new people would come around, I'd start sharing the same story. And eventually, about, you know, 3/4 of the way through the story, John's wife would pop up and say, "Wait a minute, you weren't there." I'm like, "No, but you feel like you were,
because
you own that story. You kind of, it becomes part of who you are."
Right.
Yeah. Those stories become a part of your identity, and it's okay for those stories to be repeated. Our current church that we're part of right now has a story that they tell about the beginning of the church. They were having church in a school cafeteria, and that particular day the school air conditioning wasn't working very good, and it had some doors open. And the pastor was preaching, and like a dog walked down the aisle. Right? And it's a story that he tells about, you know, about small beginnings. It's a story he tells about being discouraged in ministry. It's a story he tells about a lot of things. But I guarantee you, everyone in Milestone Church knows that story about the dog coming into the cafetorium during worship. And that story is a part of the culture of the church. It's a part of the voice of the church. And it tells you something about what kind of church it is. And it tells you something about the leadership and everything. So it's important that you repeat the stories that you want to be repeated. Yeah. And that you repeat the ones that are going to tell about the vision of your church. And that are going to speak for your church in a positive way. You want to be walking down the hall and hear a church member telling a story about a thing that happened, but they weren't there, but it was, you know, something that happened and this amazing thing that your church did. That's what you want.
Yeah.
And that's the power of stories is we call it being mentally portable.
Mm. Yeah. Mentally portable. I like that. And so that's really, I mean, if we want to take it to the children's ministry world specifically, we want children's ministry to be mentally portable. We want to be sharing stories of life change in kids and in students so that other people are hearing them and sharing them with others.
You want it to be part of your culture and your vision. Yes. Because otherwise, left to their own devices, most people don't go into a children's ministry because of security reasons. We don't let them.
Right.
They're not allowed to come in there.
Right.
And so I had a guy, you know, he's a volunteer, well-meaning guy, came to me at church, said, "Hey, can you help me with something?" And I said, "It's not an area I work in. I typically just teach." He goes, "Oh, yeah, so you just kind of herd the cats."
Oh.
And I can get offended at that. But at the same time, it just tells me, okay, we haven't shared our story enough.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, we're a new campus, by the way. So we just celebrated our second birthday, and my wife had the opportunity to do a major recruiting campaign for the fall. And the church is the main church is behind it, and they're sending people to help her. And they're like, "What do you want to do?" And she said, "You know what I want to do? I want to tell our story."
Mm.
I'm more concerned with the church knowing what we're about, who we are, and the stories that come out of our ministry, because that will make it easier for me to recruit in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I was told a long time ago that every children's ministry leader should have an elevator pitch.
Yeah.
You should have one go-to story that if you're on an elevator with someone for only a few moments, what's the one thing you want to tell them? What's the one thing you want them to be thinking about with your ministry? And so to me, when I work with other leaders, and I'm even working on this myself because, you know, me being in a new ministry position, I'm thinking about what's my elevator pitch. If I'm working to recruit, which I am right now for our student ministry side of things, I only have, you know, 5 minutes on the phone with somebody to convince them that they want to become a small group leader. So I'm looking for stories right now. What's that one powerful life change story from a student that I could share with an adult to say, this is why you want to be on our team, because mm-hmm. you want to be a part of this kingdom building thing that's happening and see more students so that you can share a story of one of the students that you've had the opportunity to help point to Christ and help them realize and reach their full potential, as we say. So,
yeah, because every story that we tell should be one that that demonstrates the gospel lived out in our ministry, and invites people to join in that gospel. As we see, that is how, you know, Peter, when he was telling his story about the Gentiles, he was telling that story, telling what happened, and saying, this is how we should do it, guys.
Yeah.
Come and join me.
Tom? Yeah. Tom needs to say that first part again, because they're going to be rewinding the podcast on that one.
What did I, that every story we tell needs to be about the gospel being lived out in our lives and asking people to join it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That is again, being mentally portable.
I hope so.
I like that. So there's your takeaway, gang. That if anything, rewind this last 3 minutes of the podcast, and because that's start thinking about, you know, what are the stories that you could share with somebody if you only had a couple minutes, and then show them how they can be a part of something greater. And how they're connecting God's story and a child's story or student story and bringing them together so that they see the child and that they see that they are part of that story that God wants to use. So, wow, good stuff, fellas. Thanks so much. Like I said, I want to encourage people to go get on ministryaccelerator.org. Sign up for it. It's free. You can join in the group. And you can read more of these kind of articles that will challenge your thinking and getting you to ask some questions. We've got some more in our series that we're going to be doing with these guys, looking at digital ideas, and we've got a lot to do. So we've got a couple more in the podcast series we want to do. And so, John, Jason, thanks so much for being part of this. You know, we're super excited because as of just before this episode, we broke over 10,000 downloads, and we are super excited.
That's awesome.
That happened. Yeah, thank you. I'm honored that God's been using this podcast, and I hope that people will connect in with you guys. You've been a big part of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast series. So, thanks, guys, for being on with me again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.